The second mediator calls the first one. And it came to pass on the journey in the inn that the Lord came against him and sought to kill him. Exodus 4, verse 24. Just as Abraham could only become the father of the believers, and Jacob the father of Christ by way of struggle and pain, so Moses could only become the mediator of the old covenant by way of circumcision of the heart and flesh. That is why it was not a miracle that not only at the Jabbok, but also at that inn where Moses stayed with his wife on the way to the great deed of redemption, the Lord, in the appearance of a wrestler, confronted Moses and sought to kill him. Was it a severe illness? Was it a man that wrestled with him just as had happened to Jacob at Peniel? Whatever the way, the parallel with what happened to Jacob at Jabbok is clear. And the same applies also to the reason of the Lord's wrestling match. Jacob had to experience in his body the contrast between flesh and spirit, self-willed actions and obedience, his own righteousness and the righteousness of faith. Thus only could he become the father of Christ. And behold, there was now that other one, that Moses, who was called to be the mediator of the Old Testament. He had to pass on the law to the people, institute the priesthood, administer the sacraments, and prefigure new ones, officially call the high priest, ordain judges, and after all that, command his successor to deliver to the people that which he also received. However, just as no one will just like that become father, so no one will just like that become mediator. For this reason, the angel of the Lord, the Son, came also to confront Moses, and threw his own predecessor mediator into the dust, just as he once had done to his father Jacob. The angel wrestled and called, also now, by calling back, and created by combat his own mediator, who had to appear before him. For also this candidate for the mediatory position had become self-willed, just as Jacob before him. Not only did he, out of due time, seize the honorable task by striking an Egyptian, just as Jacob once had seized his own opportunity, but afterward he also had to flee, just as his father Jacob. And when later Moses had to herd the sheep in the desert of Midian, far from his people, God's calling word, which the parents of Moses had understood by faith about their child, appeared as much an illusion as that particular word that Mother Rebecca once had heard about Jacob before his birth. Should this man be the rescuer of his people? Ah, he had somewhere become a forgotten shepherd, and the life of the covenant people groaned past him. And it seemed that Moses had already accustomed himself to the situation. He married Zipporah and became the father of two children. The older one was Gershom. In that name, Moses expressed that he was a stranger in that strange country. His task was elsewhere. And this son he circumcised. By this he confessed his fellowship with the distant people of Israel. But when later the second son was born, he was indeed allowed that beautiful name of Eliezer, that is, God is my helper. But the thought of pilgrimage was no longer expressed in it. Have the tears of Moses perhaps dried up? In any case, no covenant blood flowed in that birth chamber. The circumcision of this younger son was omitted. Was Zipporah responsible for this omission? Whatever the case, this is certain. Moses failed here in his duty. The father did not use his position of authority. The longing for Israel was present at the birth of the older son, but the ties with Midian dominated at that of the second. Should this man now be mediator? Can he who himself neglects the sacraments be the one to institute them, or foreshadow their complete fulfillment in the new covenant to come? Can he, who disregards the law become its mediator? Can he who caused the authority of God to fade in Midian maintain that authority over against Pharaoh and the entire world? No, it is not possible. And for this reason, the Lord encountered Moses to kill him. He brought a riddle into the life of Moses. The way which Moses had gone had been indicated by God himself. God himself spoke, "Your specific field of labor lies on the other side of the road, and you will have yet to work many years of labor for me." One would say, for the time being Moses could not yet die, for his work had to be finished first. And should that man now die? What is your mission, Moses? God's command or your own fantasy? What was it at the bramble bush, Moses? A vision or reality? What dominates with you, the flesh or the spirit? When God leads the ways of people along the abyss, he allows the truth to flash before their eyes. Thus Zipporah understood that the neglect of many years had to be amended here in a moment. And she shed the blood of her youngest son and trembled for the first time for the vengeance of the covenant. She surrendered herself to the authority of man and to the authority of Israel's law and Israel's God. Thus she recovered her friend and bridegroom in the blood of the covenant. Thus she practiced the rites of marriage, which in the covenant of God reflects that covenantal relationship in the relationship of husband and wife, in which the Lord, by way of the mediators Moses and the Christ, could say to Israel, "You are my bride." Thus that marriage reflected what only became possible in a mediatory position, that God is the bridegroom and the people the bride, and that the covenant of grace and of love does not make the service of the bride, even though it demands blood, a form of slavery, nor the dominion of the bridegroom, even when it cuts into the flesh, into tyranny, but into the greatest act of love. For the gospel is not a new law. It remains gospel. And blessed is he who endures this great mediator, also when he throws down his own mediator, who prepared the way for him, in order to save him, and in him Israel and us.